Welcome back, everyone, and happy October. This is Sam.
And this is Corrine, and we are two OncDocs. In this final episode for our 2025 update, we are focusing on metastatic breast cancer. And although it's an incurable condition, the goal is, in addition to prolonging survival, controlling symptoms, minimizing toxicity from therapy, improving quality of life, and absolutely keep into consideration the patient's goals and preferences. Know when transitioning to best supportive care is also appropriate.
Absolutely. I think that's so important, not only in breast cancer, but any solid tumor that we're treating, we're talking about is taking into consideration. Obviously, we want the survival, but you know, at what cost? We need to focus on quality of life and when it is appropriate to go to best supportive care. And so here we are again. Let's break it down into our brackets of ERPR positive, HER2 positive, and triple negative. So we're going to start off with the treatment of metastatic ERPR positive breast cancer.
So frontline for ER positive is an AI or fulvestrant with a CDK4/6 inhibitor. The options for AI are anastrozole, exemestane, and letrozole. The options for CDK4/6 are ribociclib, palbociclib, and abemaciclib. And then for premenopausal, you also do ovarian suppression in addition to AI. And frontline for PIK3CA mutated ERPR positive who has progressed during or within 12 months of endocrine therapy, there is also the triplet combo of palbociclib, fulvestrant, and inavolisib. And then we also covered the SERENA-6 trial earlier this year at ASCO, which talked about ctDNA-guided treatment for ESR1, where you switch to camizestrant. But this is unlikely to be tested at this time. So if you want to hear more about this trial, you can find our episode on June 24th, 2025. But there are some limitations to this regimen at this time, and it's not listed in the guidelines. And so also for category one that are BCRA 1 or 2 positive, you do a PARP inhibitor upfront. And of note in the guidelines for visceral crisis, chemotherapy is still category one unless you have BRCA 1 or 2, where here with visceral crisis, you do a PARP inhibitor, either olaparib or talazoparib.
Terrific. Thank you so much. And so I know we talked a lot about CDK4/6 inhibitors. What are the key facts and the toxicities that we need to be aware of with these drugs, since these are very testable?
Yes, they all cause cytopenias. They all need CBCs. They all cause fatigue. Abemaciclib leads to GI side effects, nausea, diarrhea. It's given on a continuous cycle, whereas the other two are 3 weeks on, 1 week off. It has good CNS penetration, and it has less neutropenia than the others. Ribociclib increases QTC. You need to do an EKG at baseline. Can cause pneumonitis. Actually, all of them have a 1% to 2% risk of pneumonitis, as well as LFT abnormalities. And then there's palbociclib with also the significant rate of neutropenia. In terms of all of them, they have a PFS improvement, but only ribociclib has a significant OS benefit. And RB1 mutation or loss confers resistance to CDK4/6 inhibitors. They can ask you this on boards. And then traditionally, we were given chemotherapy to patients in visceral crisis, as I mentioned. But there are some providers, although the guidelines differ, where based on the right choice trial, some providers may prefer to give endocrine therapy with CDK4/6 inhibitors.
Absolutely. I think that's where things sometimes differ is that the boards, I think the right answer still is preferencing chemotherapy for visceral crisis. But truly in the real world, these CDK4/6 inhibitors have moved into that treatment space as well because they do tend to work very quickly. But again, that's where tests in real world can differ a little bit. One little pearl of how I remember the toxicities of two of the CDK4/6 inhibitors. One is Abema. It starts with ABE or your abs, your abdominal muscles. So think of nausea and diarrhea in your abs, your abdomen. And then ribociclib starts with RIB, your ribs, which contain your heart. And so you need to be thinking about an EKG to watch that QTC. So again, Abema, abs, cramping, diarrhea. Ribociclib, ribs, QTC. So get that EKG for it. And so what are our second line options for metastatic ERPR positive breast cancer?
Well, for women with progression in ERPR positive breast cancer, you want to do repeat molecular testing because women can develop ESR1 mutations. If you find PIK3CA, alpelisib is an option with fulvestrant, but it's contraindicated in women with poorly controlled diabetes, and it also can lead to a rash. If you have AKT, P10, or PIK3CA, in addition to alpelisib, there's capivasertib or everolimus. And for exemestane with everolimus, as another option, you want to remember the side effect of stomatitis. You absolutely need to use a dexamethasone mouthwash. It can also lead to pneumonitis and rash. And then, although most women would have received a CDK4/6 in the front line, if they haven't, you want to give it second line with fulvestrant. And then a category 2A for ESR1 mutations is elacestrant. And then chemotherapy can be one option, such as capecitabine, arubulin. There is an OS benefit based on the EMBRACE trial, doxorubicin, but make sure that you know the cumulative dose of more than 300 milligram per meter squared. You want to consider dexrazoxane to decrease cardiac toxicity. And then also you want to be thinking about TDXD for HER2 low, but this is now frontline for women with HER2 low and ultra low ER positive metastatic breast cancer. And then sacituzumab govotecan is also approved in subsequent line therapies, as well as datotumab deruxtecan as well.
Great. And so now we've covered ER/PR positive. So our next category for metastatic breast cancer are those who are found to be HER2 positive. What is our best first line approach?
So it's pretty simple. For HER2 positive, you have DHP or THP. DHP is docetaxel with pertuzumab, trastuzumab, and THP is paclitaxel with pertuzumab, trastuzumab. At ASCO this year, we did hear about DESTINY-Breast09, which is TDXD with pertuzumab and a taxane. But the interim analysis showed an improving PFS, but at this point, it's not listed in NCCN, so they will not probably test you on this. And then second line is the TDXD or trastuzumab deruxtecan. And so this does lead to interstitial lung disease, neutropenia, but absolutely remember at this time, frontline DHP-THP, second line TDXD.
Terrific. And what about third or subsequent line for HER2 positive metastatic breast cancer?
So there's no clear winner, but there's a few options. T-DM1, which leads to LFT abnormalities, thrombocytopenia, neuropathy, tucatinib, trastuzumab, capecitabine, which is preferred if you have active CNS disease. The way that I remember this is tucatinib is, I remember wearing a toque as a good Canadian. So tucatinib, CNS penetration. Trastuzumab, lapatinib is another option. Margituximab with chemotherapy, and as well as neratinib with capecitabine. And remember, with neratinib, capecitabine, tons of diarrhea, and patients need to be on loperamide.
Definitely. And so before we move on, what is the mechanism of action of margituximab? Because I know this is tuxable.
So this is an anti-HER2 antibody that binds with elevated affinity to both the lower and higher affinity forms of CD16A, an Fc receptor important for antibody-dependent cell-mediated cytotoxicity.
So now our last category, and we're going to be talking about triple-negative metastatic breast cancer. What's our preferred first-line treatment?
You absolutely want to consider molecular testing with PD-L1. Here we have chemotherapy, usually single agent like taxanes, paclitaxel, docetaxel, anthracyclines like doxorubicin alone. In some cases of visceral crisis, you consider doublet chemotherapy. We have chemo and pembrolizumab for those with PD-L1 positive. And here the chemo options are paclitaxel or gemcitabine and carboplatin, regardless of BCRA status. And then the ASCENT-Breast04 at ASCO this year showed a PFS improvement with SG, sacituzumab govotecan, our TROP2 ADC with pembrolizumab versus chemo plus pembro, but there's no FDA approval for this yet. So I don't know that it will be tested on boards yet. And then for PD-L1 low with BRCA1 or 2, you can give a PARP inhibitor, either olaparib or talazoparib.
Definitely. So keep in mind, in triple negative, be checking that PD-L1 status. And if the CPS is greater than or equal to 10, you're going to be adding on immunotherapy like pembrolizumab. And so what about the second line treatment options for triple negative breast cancer?
So for HER2 low, we talked about trastuzumab deruxtecan, the groundbreaking study where for HER2 low metastatic breast cancer, if they have an IHC of 1 or 2 plus HER2 with a negative FISH, you add TDXD. And then other options in the second line setting are sacituzumab govotecan. I mentioned it's an antibody drug conjugate to TROP2, and there is neutropenia, fatigue, and diarrhea here.
And then what about third or subsequent line setting for metastatic triple negative breast cancer?
So you want to be checking for those needle in the haystack, like Entrectinib. So larotrectinib, Entrectinib. If they have RET, think of silpercatinib, and definitely be considering clinical trials.
Absolutely. And then the last question I have for you, what is the role of bone protective agents in breast cancer?
So for those with bone disease, you want to consider bisphosphonate like zoledronic acid or pimidronate, or you can consider denosumab, but remember that risk of osteonecrosis of the jaw and need for dental clearance.
Absolutely. So Corinne, thank you so much every single year for doing these breast cancer updates and going through these three episodes. It is a large undertaking. It's a lot to cover, and you and I are not breast cancer experts, so I have to thank you for taking this one for the team. And so what are our key takeaways for metastatic breast cancer this year?
So remember that for ER/PR positive, you're going to do AI or fulvestrant with the CDK4/6 inhibitor. For HER2 positive, you're going to be thinking about THP or DHP frontline. And then for triple negative, you're going to be thinking about chemotherapy. If the PD-L1 CPS is equal over to 10, you add pembrolizumab. For BRCA positive, think about PARP inhibitors. For HER2 low, consider T-DXd. And then make sure that you remember the key toxicities. And then also, we didn't talk about this here, but we did cover it in oncologic emergencies, but know about the management of emergencies such as cord compression, as well as hypercalcemia.
Absolutely. So as always, guys, thank you so much for listening. Good luck with studying for your boards this year. They're getting closer. Please feel free to reach out to us with any corrections or comments on our Instagram or our Twitter, 2OncDocs. Have a great week.